envision three female attorneys coming together to have our voices heard. Each of us would have different opinions, different passions, different backgrounds, and different views. Although we are different and unique, we are able to come together to discuss our experiences, navigating through the legal profession and this thing called life. Now, the vision has come alive, and we invite you each and every week to listen to us as we talk about what's trending in the news and our legal insights. Tackle real life issues that affect not only us as attorneys, but us as women of color. Disclaimer, this podcast is intended to provide entertainment and general information. The information provided and the views given are not intended to constitute legal advice and should not be relied upon as legal representation. All views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not represent the opinions of any entity whatsoever we are affiliated with now or will be affiliated with in the future. Hey guys, it's your girl Brandy, and welcome back to another episode of No Further Questions. This is our special edition. We're calling it the election edition, Vote 2020. And before we get started, let's introduce ourselves. T Hutch.
Hey guys, it's your girl Sam. Just kidding. Sam's not able to make it tonight, so it's just going to be Brandy and myself. But I hope everybody's doing well, having a good Monday. Happy October.
It is October.
Fourth quarter. It gets right. Better in the fourth quarter
of the year. It is October. Well, we have a special guest with us. Since we are talking about the upcoming election on November 3rd, and of course, early voting in the state of Texas begins Tuesday, October 13th, and ends on October 30th. And actually, today, Monday, October 5th, was the last day to register to vote. We wanted to do a special edition. We wanted to make our listeners and viewers aware of what's going on and the reason why and the purpose you need to vote. So we have a special guest with us. Derek, introduce yourself to our listeners.
Thank you, Brandy. Thank you, Ms. Hutchinson. And my name is Derek Reed. I'm a former council member here in Pearland, Texas, which is right outside of Houston, second largest suburb outside of Houston or in the greater Houston area. I'm also a former candidate for U.S. Congress in the 22nd Congressional District here in Texas. And so I didn't do so well at that race. Well, I came in second, so I didn't win. But I'm happy to be here with y'all, and thank you for having me today.
Cool beans. So I want to know, you said Pearland is the second largest suburb. What's the first?
Pasadena, 200,000 people.
Yeah. I would have never thought Pasadena.
Yeah,
I thought the Woodlands, like the Woodlands or something.
I'm thinking Sugar Land.
Sugar Land actually is at about like, well, in 2016, they were at 88,000, 89,000. They might be at like 110 right now, but no, they don't have more than us. We're at 135, including our ETJ. So extraterritorial jurisdiction. I also am an attorney. I didn't mention that, but.
Oh yeah, you are an attorney. Well, tell us a little bit about the attorney side.
So I actually practice employment law. I've been practicing for, 13 years now. I was licensed in 2007. Before I went to law school, I was an engineer for Motorola for 5 years. And so then I went back to law school, and then finished in 2007 from law school and have been practicing ever since. And so I did, I started off in private practice for 2 years, and then I went to the DA's office in Harris County. I served as a DA for 4 years. Exactly to the date. So my first day was July 9th, 2009. My last day was July 10th, 2013. And so I wanted to make sure I got a plaque on my wall. Anyways, and after that, I went back into private practice. Since 2016, I've been a partner at Stevens Reed and Armstrong. And so we're a small litigation boutique with about 7 lawyers. And so that's essentially what I'm doing now.
Cool beans.
Do you represent the people or the man?
So, so we do a little bit of both. My employment practice is probably about 40% individuals from the plaintiff side, and then about 60% employers. The rest of our firm is pretty much predominantly employers. A lot of individuals don't come in wanting to sue, like, you know, big companies, but and that's on the commercial litigation side. We also do construction litigation. And so my practice is employment, but the firm does construction, commercial, employment, and some real estate law. But for the most part, we represent companies as a firm. As far as my practice is concerned, though, I represent companies and individuals.
Cool beans. Very impressive, Mr. Reed.
Now we don't advertise this, but for a little while I was on my own. And I started off doing appointed cases in CPS court. And so I still actually do some appointments in CPS court. So I represent children, mothers and fathers that have had their children taken away.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know. Well, let's get started in talking about this upcoming election. So everybody saw the debate, if that's what we're going to call it, last week. I mean, I don't know what to call it, but
it was an embarrassment. That's what it was. That was an embarrassment to politics. You know, one thing I remember when Trump got elected, you know, and when he was running, you would never hire or go and ask an electrician to come fix your toilet, right? So why would you hire someone that has never been elected by the people to serve as president of the free world? You know what I'm saying? That just, anyways, but that showed it right there.
But the people voted.
I mean, nobody that voted for him would ask an electrician to come fix their toilet or vice versa. You're not going to have a plumber come work in your walls.
I agree.
And do electrical work.
That's what happened.
So you hired a reality.
Doesn't that speak to America and why people come across and try to get into America daily? Because of this American dream, you can be whatever you want to be.
You can. And there's nothing that would have stopped someone like him, a reality star, from Ronald Reagan, for instance. Ronald Reagan started off as an actor, mm-hmm. right? Ronald Reagan eventually ran for office in California, and then, you know, eventually president, and was elected to office in California. And so I'm not saying that you can't move careers and you can't change careers, but that's a huge jump. I mean, what president do you know that never served in office before, that had never served the people? It means something. When you talk about politics, forget about like who's running for what and what their issues are. Do they know how to actually serve people, right? If either one of you all called me, if you're Pearland residents, and when I was elected, you called me and said, hey, I got something going on with my sidewalk in front of my house. My kids have fallen several times. You know, I've seen people on bicycles flip over. What can you do about it? And if I said, yeah, go fix it just your damn self. I mean, am I allowed to cuss?
No.
Yes. if I said, go find your own way. I mean, that's not serving you, right? I mean, yeah, you elected me, but that's kind of what's going on right now. I mean, we're saying as Black people, we're saying, hey, look, there's a systemic racism problem in this country. There's other things going on in this country that are directly affecting us as a race. Mr. President, can you do something about it? What's the response, if there's a response at all?
Stand back and stand by.
I mean, come on. Seriously?
But my question is, but it still goes back to, and they voted for him. He got in. This is where we at now. And the conversation that we had prior to us being on, you know, recording now, you said that mine is dealing with the present. You have to also look down the ballot as well, too. Because, yes, we have two presidential candidates. And at the end of the day, that's what we got. Well, actually, I think we got three, because there's a libertarian. Oh, we have four presidential candidates. Mm-hmm. We have Donald Trump and Mike Pence, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, Joe Jorgensen and Jeremy Cohen. They're libertarians. And we have Hallie Hawkins and Angela Walker in the Green Party.
And then don't you have a blank?
To fill in?
Can't you fill somebody in?
Is that Kanye West?
No, I think we should fill in nobody and have an empty White House. and try to get a quarter.
Like,
I do.
We need to heal.
Keep saying it.
We need to heal. We don't need no president. I think we good on our own. We need to heal. We've been beat up, battered.
Don't go from one bad relationship into another one. You sit yourself still, go get some therapy, and then we'll try it again later.
Because we in a toxic relationship right here. It's toxic.
maybe if we elect a board to run the country. Like a board of directors.
I don't know. No, that ain't gonna work.
That's more egos. We don't need more egos. We need less.
But this is what I wanted to talk to you about, Derek. I want to ask you, and even Taria. So before we dive into talking about the importance of even voting down the ballot, do you think, everybody know Trump has corona? He made it home from Walter Reed. So do you think by Trump having the corona and now he's the face of it, because everybody knows he has it, does it hurt his campaign or will it help him? Or does it even matter?
Is this, you asking me?
Yes.
You know, I've seen so many like tweets and just different like assumptions on how it will affect his campaign. My personal opinion, I don't think it really matters either way. I think people have made up their mind. I mean, I don't think you need to see another debate. I think him having corona is not going to change the way that I vote or think about him, you know? And it doesn't mean like, you know, oh, I've had corona, so I can say I've had it and my opponent has never had it. That's stupid thinking. I've seen that, you know, post. I don't think it affects anything at all. I think, you know, he got sick and he's better now. But I don't think that improves his campaign. If anything, it may hurt it, only because he hasn't taken the necessary precautions to stop himself from getting sick. He wasn't wearing his mask like he should have. Supposedly, I mean, you know, obviously I wasn't with him everywhere he was, but you know, from what I've seen and from what I've read, I mean, he wasn't taking the precautions. He wasn't taking the virus serious.
I mean, we saw that on the debate when he threw it up in Biden's face, how, you know, he wear his mask all the time and he barely wears his mask. And see what happened. Taria, you got any thoughts? You think it'll help, hurt, or it doesn't matter?
I don't know, because there's this whole subsection of people, the undecided votes, and they look a certain way, they're a certain gender, and they live in a certain area called suburbs. And I feel like those women might feel sorry for him. You know, all the photo ops and, oh, he has corona, poor guy, he had to go to the hospital, they had to rush him off. But he's back home 2 days later, and he is quote unquote doing well. Why is that? Because he got the health care that he's not trying to get the rest of us to have.
Here's why I don't know that people will feel sorry for him. Because everybody, I don't know any person that doesn't know somebody that has passed away from the virus, right? I'm pretty sure that both of you know someone that has passed away from coronavirus. So for me to feel sorry for somebody that's gotten it and healed, I mean, look, I hate for anybody to get sick, right? But it's even worse to get sick and die. I know four people that have died from coronavirus. You know what I'm saying? And so that alone, I mean, I don't know that that's going to make, I hope that that's not what makes someone vote for him, because they all of a sudden feel sorry for him, yet they know somebody, I'm pretty sure, with so many people that have passed from this virus, they know somebody that has died from it, right?
I hope not.
He is milking this from the tweets or whatever. He's milking it. You know, he's still letting everybody know COVID is not that bad. I don't know if that tweet is real, but it's out there that COVID's not that bad. He felt better than he did 20 years ago. But then again, and we have to emphasize, Trump got round-the-clock care, health care. They're trying to keep this man alive. That health care that he's trying to get rid of, we don't have that. If you don't have insurance and you got COVID, You don't have that. So we hope that people are paying attention and remember those loved ones or those associates or acquaintances or whatever, that they're remembering that 200 plus thousand people have died from Corona. But let's keep the conversation going. So Derek, this conversation was brought up also with us. We talked about in our last episode, it was mentioned the term down the ballot. We mentioned it on here. So explain to us, what does that mean? Because we talked about the presidential. Everybody goes to vote on the presidential election, which I want to reiterate real quick. In the state of Texas, there is no more straight ticket voting, which means you cannot vote straight Democrat or state Republican by pushing a button. You got to individually vote for the candidates.
Let me say something. Even if you could individually vote, I mean, I'm sorry, even if you could do straight ballot for this election, that would be to a candidate's detriment, but also to the public's detriment, for the folks that are down ballot. And let me tell you why I say that. If somebody can walk in and press, you know, hey, I just want to vote all Democrat and just think that they're going to leave after that, there's other candidates like council, city council candidates, local candidates that are not partisan, that still need your vote. Right. And so if you're already forced to go down the ballot individually, you know, one by one, then go down the ballot one by one and you'll eventually reach them. Now, I'm not saying that if you were a straight ticket voter, that's a bad thing, or that, you know, having straight ticket voting on the ballot is a bad thing just in general. I'm saying if I'm going in, if I'm a person that's a straight ticket voter and I'm going to just press one button and then leave, I'm not even considering or even thinking about the fact that I need to vote for the mayor of my city, right? If I don't live in the city of Houston, if I live in Missouri City, they're voting on a mayor. They're voting on city council people. I live in Pearland. They're voting on a mayor. They're voting on city. We are voting on a mayor and city council people for this election, right, in November. And so that's one reason why, you know, it's important that you go to those folks and that you vote for those folks as well, as you're going down ballot. So since you're already going down ballot, you'll get to those folks. The most important reason, though, to go down ballot and to reach those folks is because those are the folks that actually make the decisions that affect your day-to-day lives, right? So when we're talking about traffic lights, when we're talking about sidewalks, we're talking about streets, we're talking about police officers, and we're talking about just the general day-to-day things that I interact with, taxes, city taxes, those types of things. Those things are voted on by a city council, by mayors, not by the president, not by Congress. You know, those folks are typically the furthest away from the day-to-day people life, right? And so while Congress and congressmen and women and senators, they're important, and obviously the president as well, they don't serve a day-to-day purpose for the most part. I mean, you're not daily thinking about whether or not abortion is legal or illegal, or you're not thinking about social issues. Well, today we are thinking about social issues from day to day, but you understand what I'm saying. Those folks are the ones that will make the decisions that affect your day-to-day life, where things will be placed, what buildings will be placed where. And so that's why it's so important that you go down ballot and pick those people that will hire your police chief, right? Will have the ability to name how many officers will go, you know, on your police force. Will set your tax rate. All those things are important.
So I was trying to find a copy of the voting ballot for this year, and due to the fact that straight ticketing is now gone, will the person's name, so if we have Senator John Smith, will it have a parentheses and a D or an R by their name? Has anyone seen that?
I've seen the ballot. It says, the one I'm looking at, it actually says Republican, Libertarian, and Democratic. Like, it has it spelled out.
So, and I think that that's a good point, because I have family members who get overwhelmed by the amount of people that are on the ballots. And I am a firm believer that when it comes to voting, you should do it just like anything else and educate yourself, and you make the best decision that works for you. And so get the ballot a few weeks early and look and see, you know, who's going to help make the change that's necessary for you and your household. But for people that do get overwhelmed, if you're not able to go through all hundreds of candidates that there are, they're still just knowing that, okay, I might know maybe three of the councilmen that are running, maybe one of the police chiefs that are running, maybe the mayor. But for the things I don't know, I can still work down the ballot, because if I'm a tried and true Democrat or tried and true Republican, I can go in and see there's three candidates in running for, there's two candidates running for 133rd court, Harris County Court, District Clerk or District Court. And I can just pick that candidate who has the Democrat by their name or Republican by their name. So don't get so overwhelmed where it's like, how am I going to choose? If you want to still pick only the Democrats or only the Republicans, which I don't suggest, get whoever works for you. You can still do it that way. It's just going to take you a few more minutes just to work down through it.
Yeah.
And it comes back to what you had said too, Taria. Like, also, you can go to the Texas Secretary of State. They have a ballot certification report that lists every candidate in the state of Texas. You can narrow it down from your county, and it lists everybody in your county, including the Congress and presidential. And it literally says Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, and Green Party. And this is the time for you to go through and research who is the one for you. Definitely vote for who is one for you. And go ahead, Derek.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you made a great point about, like, you know, you still, if you want to do, you know, all Democrats, you can go down and still, you know, select the person that has the D next to their name. If you want to do all Republican, you can definitely do that. I've never voted straight ticket before. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I mean, and so I don't know, like, how that looks, or even how a straight ticket, you know, I don't know if you just press a button, you leave. But I've always gone through the ballot. And so I think for a lot of people, it's not going to be anything different. You know, a lot of folks that I know have never voted straight ticket. They've always gone through the ballot. And one of the reasons why they go through the ballot is because, I mean, they don't think everybody deserves their vote. I'm one of those people. I don't think everybody deserves my vote. You know, that neither here nor there. Ultimately, there's still some indicator next to each person's name that lets them know whether or not, that lets the voter know whether or not they're Democrat or Republican.
So what do you say to the people that are out there saying that they're not going to vote because their vote doesn't matter?
I mean, that's the craziest thing that you could possibly say. I mean, that's, you know, I'll just leave my adjective as crazy. I mean, that's to say that it doesn't matter. I mean, before me, there was never an African-American in Pearland City Council or part of Pearland City Council. Never an African-American elected to Pearland City Council. If it had not been for the votes that I got, you know, I wouldn't have been there, right? And so I was the first to serve on Pearland City Council. But had it not been for me knocking on doors and getting people to come out, their votes mattered. Their votes were what put me there. And so for us to think that, or for anyone to think that, you know, me voting is not going to have any effect whatsoever on, you know, change or have any effect on who's in office. I mean, you know, the elections are won and lost by votes. I mean, and it's clear as day. Now, I can understand why people think that, hey, look, you know, I voted and I see that this one person had the popular vote when it comes to president, not when it comes to any other office, but when it comes to president, had the popular vote. But then this person over here ended up winning because of the Electoral College. That's even more the reason why you need to go out and vote for your local officials, for your state officials, the folks that are putting for your Congress, the folks that are having influence on who sits on that Electoral College, right? I can't stress enough the importance of voting in general. And thinks that it's just dumb to vote. I mean, it almost makes me think, like, well, why do you even, I mean, you can't complain then, right? You don't have a voice to complain. Don't ever talk about what we don't have in this country. Don't ever talk about why your taxes are so high. don't ever talk about the liberties that you don't have anymore, right? And so, you know, even all the way down to the point of, you know, well, we got all these, you know, quote unquote, there's some these bad police out here. I mean, well, you didn't vote for the elected officials that hired the police chief that made sure that to hire, you know, good police officers, right? Or fire bad police officers. You didn't take that opportunity to have a voice in that.
So basically,
well, and I also think you can look at just what recently happened and made all the news. I think it was in 2018 where the justices, no, 2019, where the Harris County justices, it was Black women power, right? And so all of these Black women were placed into the judicial positions by votes. Some of these women unseated, I mean, people that being a lawyer and working in the court systems and seeing how mad people were that white male is now gone and he's held that position forever tells you what your power of vote can do. And it allowed people who normally never saw anybody that looked like them be able to take those positions. I'm a civil litigation attorney. I spend most of my days in small towns and I'm the only one. Okay, there might be a bailiff, there might be a security guard. I'm the only one in majority of the settings that I'm in. And so to go into Harris County and see people that look like me, that tells you right there that that's the power of voting. And if there's someone that you don't like and there's something that your sidewalks aren't getting fixed, this is the time to make your voice heard. Exactly. Don't let that person continue to sit in the same position. If they haven't done anything in the last 4 years and you're at the, you know, pre-COVID, if you were at all the city council meetings and she's scrolling on the internet buying shoes, don't let her sit at another city council meeting. Get out and vote and tell your friends what you need to do. And so I think I get bothered by this because especially for minorities, I hate that argument that your vote doesn't matter. Then why did everybody have to die to get us to these votes?
To these votes, yep. Why did people have to die to get us to get us as Black people to the point of being able to vote? You see what Correct. I'm saying? I mean, or Correct. Not even just die. I mean, protesting. I mean, just. I mean, it took a lot to be able to have those 19 judges sit on the bench. Those 19 women. 19 Black women sit on the bench, right? And so, I mean, that's when you think about that, and like you said, when you think about the effect that they have, and the effect that any judge, or even myself, like I said, I mean, for myself being elected and the first African American out here, I mean, this city is huge. You know, just in 2015, I mean, the effect of what our ancestors did should not just go to waste. And especially when I hear people say, "It's not my vote is not, you know, doesn't count, so, you know, so I'm not going to vote at all." To me, I mean, you know, they're kind of throwing the finger at those folks that stood up for us to be able to do what we're doing today.
So then let's segue into the reason why the Republicans are trying to keep us from not voting. So I don't know if anybody has heard, our listeners out there, but here in the state of Texas, actually you probably have heard, here in the state of Texas, Governor Abbott did an executive order probably about a week or two ago trying to limit one mail-in ballot location. That's not good, especially here in Harris County, even in Dallas County, when you have millions of people in your population. So Derek, what are your views on that?
Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, that's ridiculous, right? I mean, you know, I've seen articles, and I knew this beforehand, that Harris County specifically is bigger than the state of Rhode Island. That kind of thing, it really targets the bigger counties in Texas, right? You got Harris County, Dallas County, Travis County, Bear County, the cities, San Antonio, Austin and Travis County, San Antonio and Bear County, Houston, you know, most of Harris County, and then Dallas County is the city of Dallas. I mean, you those are the most diverse places in the state. And, you know, specifically with Houston, I mean, if you live North Harris County, like the Jersey Village area, and have to come all the way down to NRG, You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, just my grandmother is 90 years old. She just turned 90 this year. My grandmother had no intent on going any specific place to drop off her ballot. She was going to just put it in the mail, or put it at one of the, which was 12 locations before, now it's been narrowed down to one, right? Spread out across the county. Well, I mean, now at this point, I'm just going to take her to vote. I'm going to, you know, get up one morning, she likes to go early, and I'm going to take her to vote so she won't have to stand in line. But I mean, you know, the fact that she even has to come out, I have to expose her to COVID. I have to, you know, that kind of thing. Right. She doesn't get out. She doesn't drive. Hell, I don't even want, like, sometimes, you know, my kids have been kind of limited in seeing her because of this pandemic. And so I don't want to expose a 90-year-old woman to that. But at the end of the day, I also know that she wants to make sure that she votes. And, you know, with some of the things that I heard in the debate the other night, I'm not really sure that I even want her to mail in. At this point, I'm like, let me just go ahead and just, you know, have her vote. So those things, I'm sure there's other people. I know that there's other people throughout the county that, you know, feel the same way, that are affected the same way throughout the greater Houston area. I live in Brazoria County. So but throughout the greater Houston area that feel the same way. And we're talking specifically to Harris County. You know, Brazoria County has a lot of elderly. Pearland specifically has a lot of elderly. And so, you know, it's not something that is ideal for those folks that never planned on going to the polls. And now some folks I know are definitely just going to go straight to the polls. At the end of the day, I hope that, you know, Governor Abbott and anybody else, you know, they kind of start seeing the human side. I don't know though that'll ever happen. That's a whole nother topic, but you know, I fear the way politics is going, that folks have stopped being human and they started being robots for a party, right? And that's dumb. You know, Republican or Democrat, I mean, being robots for, you're basically creating division. And this does nothing. What his move does nothing but feed into that. So
created in voter suppression.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there are two federal lawsuits against federal Abbott that have been filed, one out of Dallas County and another organization too. So we'll see what happens. But as of right now, and you know, it affects us larger counties to where you have only one location to your mail-in ballot. I personally believe and feel like, you know, mask up, PPE, go through October 13th through the 30th and vote early. You get 2 hours anyway. If you're working from home or if you're still employed, you get 2 hours from your job to vote. So go early and vote, because they're trying.
Vote, yeah.
They're trying to suppress us. They're trying to keep us quiet. If those that believe that your vote doesn't matter, then why are they trying so hard to keep us from voting? Think about that. So we are coming to the end of our show. So Derek, we have what is called rest our case. That means that anything that you can rest, like you want to lay to rest, such as it doesn't have to be about this topic. It can be, for instance, one thing, I think something about, you know, if you want to say you tired of the word lit, then that can go. So just whatever you feel like you tired of hearing in the news and the media and pop culture or whatever, you know, you can rest your case. So Tariq, you got to rest your case for tonight.
Of course I do. Okay. It's voting. And we touched on it, but I have to say it again. My biggest pet peeve every 4 years is my vote doesn't count. I sit in a red state and it doesn't matter what I do. It's going to the Republicans. Here's the deal. I sat today driving and I was thinking about my great grandfather who was a sharecropper. And to become a sharecropper, that means at some point his parents were in slavery. So that's only like three generations before me, where we were actually putting our hands and tilling this land. And my ancestors built this country and they fought for us to be here right now. We're three attorneys. And so when I hear people say that my vote doesn't count, it doesn't matter. Someone died for you. Someone was beaten for you. Somebody lost their kids. They were burnt up. Four girls were in a church in Alabama, burnt up just so that we would never have a voice. And then you don't want to get up and vote? No excuses. It's time to be done with it. You have a narcissist in the White House who needs to leave. You have one that's in the state of Texas who just suppressed our votes. He needs to get out. So go vote and stop it. Just stop. Your ancestors are rolling over in their graves because they did this so we can have a voice and we have it and we don't want to use it. So let it go. Go vote, guys. Stand in line. If you have to stand in line from the front to the end, do it. Our people did it. They walked. They were spit on. They were hosed down. They were beaten. They were had dogs at them and they kept going so that we could be here today. So go vote. I'm done.
Derek, do you have a rest my case?
You know, I'm tired of us having to constantly hashtag somebody's name. I mean, and today I read a post, and I haven't looked up any articles on it yet, but a hashtag Jonathan Price, which was a guy in Texas. He was breaking up a domestic violence situation between two people that he wasn't, you know, I guess, familiar with. The police showed up. He, you know, raised his hands to tell him that, you know, hey, look, this is what was going on. And he was tased. He started convulsion. They felt like they were in danger. And then he got shot to death. You know, I'm tired of that, right? You know, and I posted this before, hashtag with a blank, who's next? I mean, is it going to be me, right? Is it going to be, you know, one of my cousins? Is it going to be, you know, one of my uncles? Like who? Who's it going to be? You know, I mean, my son when he grows up? I mean, and that's scary. That's pitiful. You know, no one else, no other race or culture has to worry about that. You know, especially right now. And what that, I guess, leads me into also being tired of is not having the proper training when it comes to certain police, right? And that's not to say that I'm very much a law enforcement advocate. I want to make sure that that's known. And what I mean by that is I was a DA for 4 years. I worked with police. And every police officer is not bad. That's hands down. But just like every police officer is not bad, they need to understand that every Black person is not bad, right? And a lot of times, and I've had this conversation, I'm sorry for going long, I've had this conversation with my own police chief or my prior police chief, meaning for the city of Pearland. In 2016, the summer of 2016, there was the shootings in Dallas, Texas. And several officers were shot. There was a guy that was, you know, pretty much shooting everybody, right? And long story short, after that, I was afraid that something might happen in Pearland. We don't have a huge police force. At the time, we had about 160 officers. Maybe about 10 of them were Black at the time, right? There's more than that now, more Black officers. What I sat down with my police chief and my city manager the next week and told them was, one of the biggest problems is the only time that an officer interacts, a white officer specifically, interacts with somebody of a different race is when they pull them over on a traffic stop. And their immediate thought process is this guy, or might be that this person is dangerous because they're Black or just because they just haven't been exposed to anybody else. You got a department of 160 officers and only 10 are Black, you probably not really interacting with those folks, right? And so anyways, I guess I'm just tired of the hashtags, and I'm tired of what's leading to the hashtags, which is to me the lack of training, whether that be diversity training, whether that be training on how to use your weapon, consistent training, consistent renewal. As a lawyer, as three lawyers, we have to consistently get our license renewed, right? We have to consistently go through classes. I mean, going through T-close class or whatever it is that officers go through, I mean, it doesn't include, at least here in Texas, it doesn't include anything about diversity, right? I mean, you know, about the fact that you're the first time or the only time you come in contact with a minority may be on a traffic stop. So anyways, that's my what's it called?
Rest your case.
I'm resting my case. I'm fine. I'm long-winded. I'm done. I rest my case.
Just like a politician.
Just like.
Just like a politician. Well, my case pretty much sums up what both of y'all said. At the end of the day, you need to vote. You need to vote for those officials that are going to be able to train the police officers that keep killing us. And you need to vote because our ancestors paved the way for us to vote and have the right to vote. So you need to continuously to vote. Again, if you live in the state of Texas, October 13th through the 30th is early voting. Today, Monday, October 5th was the last day to register to vote. However, October 23rd, I think, is the last day for mail-in, if you want to mail in. However, I'm not encouraging you to mail in. I am encouraging to mask up, glove up, PPE, and go to the polls.
Go to the polls.
And vote, vote, vote. And November 3rd is the actual election. And during early election, it is, they're open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. too.
Yes. So, yes, and on the weekends.
And on the weekends. So, yeah. Yes. So there is no excuse. We need the votes. We need a change. We need to vote for change. We need to stop having them killing us. We need to matter. Our voice needs to be heard. Let your voice be heard. I'm still on, you know, somebody need to come over here and protect us Black women. But that's another show for another day, because we are definitely not protected. Because, again, the walls at somebody's house was more important than Breonna Taylor. But on that note, thank you, Derrick Reed.
Thank you all for having me.
Let everybody know where they can follow you on Instagram if they can. Or, you know, if you want to shout out your law firm, if you want some, you know, some business thrown your way, let our listeners know.
You can follow me at Reed for Congress. That's at Reed for Change. I've changed. It used to be at Reed for Congress. Say,
you still so, running?
No, at Reed for Change. So at REEDFOR Change. Also, you can follow me just on Facebook, just Derrick Reed. You know, I have a personal Instagram site as well, but let's start with the at Reed for Change. And so my law firm is Stevens Reed and Armstrong. Thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it. I'd love to come back if you're doing something similar or anything that I can help with. So thank you.
Cool beans. T Hutch, we following you.
You are. I'm laughing. I've never had a guest tell us that they're coming back. Okay.
I'd love to come back. I said, I would love to come back. I said, I would love to come back. I didn't say I was coming back. I would love to come back.
We're going to let us ask you back and then you can come back. But
I mean, hold up. We got to see what them views looking like. You need to post this on your Facebook page and stuff. You know, we got to see what them views looking like.
But you can follow me on Instagram at Simply Being T. And we can discuss whether or not Derrick should come back on our show or not.
Right, that should be a poll. Should D Reed come back? Yes or no?
DM me.
DM us. And as always, you can follow me at @brand_Janae on Instagram. You can follow, like, and share our podcast, No Further Questions, on Facebook, No Further Q on Instagram, and NFQ Pod on Twitter. We will have another episode next week as well. We're going to be discussing domestic violence. So this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month and Breast Cancer Awareness Month in the month of October. So make sure you vote, 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 and we'll catch you next.